welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and Paul Tulin.
Well, good day to you all. We're glad you could join us today in the Education Currents, and we're going to kind of take a little bit of a side journey today away from some of the more political aspects of education and some of the controversies that are going in education, and just look at cross-curriculum or cross-curricular activities. And so we've named today's show the Grasshopper School Day.
And we've been looking so forward to this for quite a few weeks.
Yeah.
Paul and I have been talking about it and just wondering how a show designed around a grasshopper would really look like.
Yeah, and we're not doing this just so that it's one day that you could do about grasshoppers, but so that you can get the idea of what cross curriculum would look like and what an interconnected curriculum might look like. And you could apply this to many different things. I mean, you could pick, if you sat down and planned your school calendar, you could plan your school calendar around different
seasons
and
holidays.
And you could, pick one lead curriculum to lead the way. For instance, if you picked science, then whatever you studied in science, you would cross with all the others. Or maybe you'd pick reading or something else to help guide you as a guide so that you knew what your theme. It's sort of like a thematic, an idea of doing something thematically that, by the way, studies show increases learning by quite a bit.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
So we picked a grasshopper, and it really started off as a nugget of my great nephew came in and brought in a paper when we were in here preparing for one of our shows with a grasshopper,
a picture
that he'd colored, and we asked him, what did you learn about the grasshopper? And he hadn't learned anything. He just colored the picture. So he thought, well, what could you teach about a grasshopper? And so we kind of came out more than a day's. I mean, we didn't sit down and make it specifically a day, but we chose different subjects to show and tell about that makes it really kind of a cool little compact thing that any teacher would love to have, or any, especially if you're running a small private school, this would be excellent.
Or a home school.
Yeah. So,
or a Christian, or even like for a Sunday school, or
yeah, you can use. There's all kinds of materials that we gathered together into our little document here, and Dr. Rose Gamblin, why don't you start us off with some of the things that you came up with?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you that I really am enchanted by the grasshopper. As a young child, every summer my parents would go to a university to do summer school. And one of the neighbors did a research project on grasshoppers, and we got money for every grasshopper we caught. And we caught the biggest grasshoppers. We chased them all over the place, and we'd put them in jars, and we had these big jars of grasshoppers. I don't know what happened to them. I can only imagine. But from that point on, then, I thought, if someone in college thinks the grasshopper is important enough to study, I need to pay attention to the grasshopper. So I paid attention to it. And it was many years later that I was at this one church school, and my students, the culture of that school, every April 1, they would play April Fool's jokes. And I tried to ban it. I just, it just was so disruptive of what I wanted to get accomplished. And so one year I had it. I thought, well, I'm going to play a joke on them. So I went out that night and I collected grasshoppers. And I had enough grasshoppers so I was able to deposit a grasshopper in each locker. And the next day, when the kids came to school, I just stood there in the hall and observed. And you know, the teenage girls screaming as these big grasshoppers would hop out of the locker on them, and you'd have the little kids scampering all over to collect theirs and carefully let it go outside. And I never did tell them that I was the one that had put the grasshoppers in their lockers, but I thought when we're going to do a grasshopper school day, it most fits around that time, April, the, you know, end of March, April, because that's when they're fully
developed. Yeah, that's when they come out. Yeah, I remember grasshoppers, too. They used to spit that juice on your fingers when you were a kid.
Yes, yes. And, you know, nowadays some kids are too timid to touch a bug. You know, their folks have instilled kind of a fear in them.
Or they've just been inside a lot. I mean, the kids playing outside is a rare thing nowadays, and a lot of it's due to a misconception that somehow it's more dangerous today than it was when we were kids, and the fact is it really isn't. It just, we get a 24-hour news cycle that constantly pumps out stories about people being kidnapped, but the actual rate is no different. As a matter of fact, according to Freakonomics, it's a little bit less than it was when you take per capita of children being abducted or, you know, any of that kind of stuff going on. So
yes.
So it's a pity they're not out there playing. If they were, they would be
learning a lot of these things on their own. But I think as an educator, giving them the opportunity to learn about a grasshopper, and they'll learn about a lot of things. But a grasshopper is our focal point today. We're calling it a grasshopper school day. And if I were a kid and my teacher announced that, hey, we're going to have a grasshopper school day, if my teacher announced, hey, we're going to have a notebook school day, if my teacher announced, hey, we're going to have a chair day tomorrow, if my teacher announced anything like that, I would be so curious. I could hardly wait to be to school the next day.
Yeah, to find out what it was all about.
Yeah, what does that mean? We're going to have a chair day.
And curiosity, by the way, curiosity, if necessity is the mother of invention, curiosity is the mother of learning.
That's right. That is so right. Well, we want to start out, you know, simple. How can we connect a grasshopper to learning? And so the first thing that I chose was the letter G is for grasshopper.
And this would be like around kindergarten, first grade.
The letter G is for grasshopper. And in fact, I thought as we progress through our grasshopper day, we could maybe get just a little more complicated with the activities, but start out with something very simple. And for a young child, putting a name with a letter gives that letter so much more meaning than if you just said, G, remember this, this is a G.
Yes.
You got to connect it with something.
And here we have where they color the letter G and the grasshopper image with it, but you could also take and make a cute grasshopper out of the letter G itself.
Yes.
For them, you know, put legs on it and
yes, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah, that would be another great thing.
The finger and pencil tracing of the letter G is so important. I was working with a couple of students today that are in kindergarten, and to start now with the correct way to start a letter, because I also have kids on the collegiate level that are still really laboring at drawing their letters because they don't teach it anymore.
I mean, I watch kids come. I worked in a pre-K class where they were shocked that I was trying to teach the kids how to hold a pencil. And as I went to that school that I worked, and I worked there for a number of years, I saw a lot of the kids who'd been there who didn't know. I mean, they grabbed it in all different kinds of ways.
Yes,
yes. And they didn't hold it a way that was close to what we learned.
Yes,
to do.
Yes, and this is a travesty because a child who has dyslexia needs to not have to lift that pencil off from the paper any more than they possibly can. So by teaching them to start to the top, like for the letter G, you would start at the top and go around to the left and then come up and then make the little
Yeah, that's just
line.
Not taught anymore because it's not tested, and so it's not important.
But it is so important. And I think
I'm not saying everywhere. I'm sure there's some schools that
yes,
do still do, but there are a lot of
you
places
that are doing
that
it,
don't.
Please give yourself a pat on the back, because just that simple little skill of being able to print will help someone with a learning disability.
Very much so.
So we put that in here because we think it's very important, and there's all kinds of fun things that you could do with it.
Now, our next activity was I Spy, and that's actually a great activity. It's an activity that hits a number of important skills, not only thinking skills, but also motor skills and tracking skills.
And observational skills.
So in this activity, the children were to find something that began with the letter G somewhere in the room, and the teacher would start out by saying, I spy something green. And after that, the teacher would give another clue, and I'm sure people are most, you know, are aware of how to play I Spy. And kids love it, by the way.
Yes, and this is a game that a family can do as you're traveling along. Doesn't have to be about the letter G or about a grasshopper, anything. It could be I Spy something that's red.
But in this case, we're with the grasshopper, so you could move into that kind of activity. And this, again, is for lower grades, kindergarten and first grade.
But I remember playing it in my family clear up through the sixth grade. You know, it was more complicated. There weren't so many clues, but we still...
I remember in our family, it was never I Spy, it was She Comes, She Comes.
Yeah, what does she come on?
And then she comes on a letter, and then you'd have to go through the process. And it can, you know, if you spend time, one thing that I used to do with my school kids, and there was one time where I had a small school where I was actually part bus driver and school, and the school administrator and the school teacher and everything else. And so when I would have the kids in the bus, taking them on a field trip or somewhere, and we would get into games like this, I'd spend some time also reasoning with them and how to ask questions, start teaching them how to ask. Like, you know, do you just start, because some kids will just start guessing wildly, anything, you know, they'll just guess wildly right away. And then you'll start teaching them, well, you know, maybe you want it spatially. So you say, is it in the left half of the room or the right half of the room? And then is it in the upper half and the bottom half? And so you can teach kids different ways to organize their search, their mental search for it, that then helps them later on in their organizational skills in general.
Yes.
So there's a lot in there that really, there's a lot of skills in that little game that's being built.
Yeah, and the I Spy game, you could adapt it 1,000 ways, but one way, I mean, you could actually have a big, one of those big, thick plastic grasshoppers, and you could just, you know, for very young children, you just hide that big grasshopper all over the room, and that's just so much fun, and they're just learning to look and observe. That really increases their observational skills. Even if you have it sitting out on the desk, they don't notice it at first. You know, they have to look around and look at each place where that big grasshopper could be. Well, the next one on our list is a word search. And I know that children with dyslexia, word searches are very difficult.
Yes, I was no good. I still am no good at word searches.
Yeah, and some kids just love them. We have included in this packet a little word search that for the very young child, they can be looking for the letter G and circling the letter G in it. And then for older children, the words that begin with are also represented with a picture.
And you could also, if you were going to do it for like a science activity, you could have the, you know, the different things that are related to grasshoppers in the word search, you know, the things that...
And older kids love to make the word searches and switch them back and forth with their classmates and solve them. And
we don't have this in the packet, but there are websites you can go to that you put in your list of words and it will create word searches for you to give to your students. So
yes, now
they're not hard to create.
We're going to go to a reading exercise, and there's a lot of things connected with this. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Aesop's fable, The Ant and the Grasshopper, and there's a lot of lessons we can learn through that. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Education Current. Stay with us.
Hey, everyone. Today I'm talking about something that bugs me a lot, and this is homework. This is mostly because I have very little free time, and I don't feel like using it up doing homework. After a long day of work in school, it's a little stressful coming home to even more work. So here are some ways I learned can help. First, stop trying to put it off. It gets done way faster if you can set your mind to doing it. Second, pay more attention in class. You will understand better so that you can get done faster. Well, that's all for today, and I hope it helps.
This teen topic was written and produced by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information about Highland View Academy, go to www.hva-edu.com. That's www.hva-edu.com.
Mama! Mama, where are you? Mama.
Well, you've heard a lot about Haiti in the news, and dust has settled now. A lot of the help has left, and there's still a number of displaced children and children with special needs. In fact, it's dramatically increased. We're stretching our resources to provide food, shelter, education, and the medical care that these children need.
Mama, Mama, Mama.
I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I've chosen Restore a Child as the humanitarian organization I'm going to support.
To make a donation, go to www.restoreachild.org or call 877-745-7833. That's 877-745-7833.
Well, welcome back to a Grasshopper School Day. And just before we went to break, we were talking about Aesop's fable, The Ant and the Grasshopper.
This would be a reading activity, by the way.
Yes, it will be a reading. Well, there's there's a lot of extension you can do off from it, but I thought it'd be kind of cool for us to actually read it. It's just a few short sentences Paul. And you be the voices, and I'll be the... just the narrator.
Okay, we'll give it a shot here.
Here we go. The Ant and the Grasshopper. One bright day in late autumn, a family of ants were hustling about in the warm sunshine, drying out the grain they had stored up during the summer, when a starving grasshopper, his fiddle under his arm, came up and humbly begged for a bite to eat.
"What?"
cried the ants in surprise.
"Haven't you stored anything away for the winter? What in the world were you doing all last summer?"
"Well, I didn't have time to store up any food,"
said the grasshopper.
"I was too busy making music that before I knew it, the summer was gone."
The ants shrugged their shoulders in disgust.
"Making music, were you?"
they cried.
"Very well, now dance!"
And they turned their backs on the grasshopper and went on with their work. There's a time for work and a time for play.
Yeah, and this is one of the activities that would fit into a grasshopper school day in the form of reading. And the idea, we have the complete lesson plan in this packet. The idea would be that you would draw the kids together, and in the lead-in or anticipatory set of it, you would share with the students that one of your favorite fables, probably not the grasshopper itself, but a fable of yours that is one of your favorites. And then you would distribute to them copies of The Ant and the Grasshopper. Then you would split the students into groups of three or four students each and provide them with chart paper, a T-chart, and they would make a T-chart. And their assignment would be to go and do shared reading with each other in their group, within their group. And then to collectively fill out that T-chart as to the differences and the similarities between the fable and the fairy tale. Now, hopefully, in the end, they'll come up with these pretty good T-charts. Then you'd bring all the students back together and place the T-charts around the room. And then the students would do a silent walk. They call it a gallery walk, where like you're walking through a gallery, and they would each be given a marker, and they would go, and if they agreed with something on a chart, they'd put a check mark by it, and if they thought something needed to be added, they would write in an addition on each chart. And so then when they got done going around the rock, you'd bring them all back again to their seats, and you would then create a master chart. And this master chart, you would say, what are the similarities and differences? And in that master chart, you'd begin to pull out the similarities and differences and what makes a fable versus a folk tale or a fairy tale, so that they could begin to see that literary genre and how it really fits out by itself. And once you went through that, then you'd give them some independent time where they could go and construct their own fable in their reading notebooks. And you'd have them make a checklist, so that they would have to checklist what's on the master chart. Okay, did I do this? Did I add this element? Did I add this element? Did I add this element? So when they got done, they would have a pretty good either fable or folk tale. You could do, all three.
Yeah, you could do parable and fable.
Yes. Although parable and fable are pretty much the same thing. And then when they all got done with that, you could leave their work up around the room, and you could have extension for gifted students. You could give them the task to go to the library and find choices and categorize them, and then defend their choices, their classification of the story, and see. And for students that were having more struggles, instead of actually having them write the story, if they have really, a lot of trouble writing it, you could have them storyboard it, like a cartoon.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd bring out the idea of storyboards.
Yeah, and they could set up their columns and when you do this, but we don't point out and say, okay, you guys, you do the storyboard.
Right.
You give choices.
That's right. We know that differentiated learning is allowing kids to have choices.
Yeah, and that way it doesn't point out, you know, it doesn't point out to somebody, oh, I can't write, or even though everybody probably knows it in the room, but it's still better not to point it out. It's a sore point.
Yeah, so. I've had, you know, the gifted and talented parents wanting their children to be treated preferentially, I felt. And I said, look, every student in this school is gifted and talented. It's just different gifts and different talents.
Well, you find when you're working with a group and you let them have a choice, you'll find that some kids will accelerate themselves because they'll always want to be with a faster moving group, and therefore it really does lift them up.
Yes. And research supports the idea that the heterogeneous group of abilities all mixed together there with all different abilities, those on the lower spectrum do excel, and those on the higher, and all they can figure out is the higher ones are teaching and helping the less talented kids, for better word, but I don't think that's
the
a
less
good word.
The less gifted ones in that area.
Yeah, in
because,
that area.
You know, I have two grandsons, and they're two different people. And
that's
and
right.
They're not even 2 years old yet. You can see they're two different people. You can see one's going to probably be a whiz at school. The other one's going to be a whiz at mechanical things. And but the end of it, what they're a whiz in and what they aren't isn't what makes them important to me.
That's right.
It's them.
That's
just
right.
Them.
That's right. And that's how it is with God. It's not what we do for God that makes us important to Him. It's that we are His.
We are important to Him. Just
we are just important to Him.
And that's the way it is that I feel about those grandsons. I don't, you know.
You know, God created us for His joy, just as your grandchildren bring joy to you.
Yeah, their being is what I.
Yes,
I
think sometimes.
Joyful one.
We're so busy trying to do for the Lord that we don't realize He just wants us for Him. It's not what we're doing. Okay, back to a Grasshopper School Day, which is the whole reason why we have this show, though, is to affirm you, to make you realize how gifted and talented and what a joy you are for God. It's a state of being. It's not any set of behaviors. But anyway, let's get back to the Grasshopper Day. This is the 13-page resource, multi-age resource for teaching through grasshoppers.
Yes, it's got everything but a hemi in it.
Yeah, we've included some online resources. We have one that's Let's Talk About Insects, and that is really neat because I always check these out. This doesn't have any evolution in it, but it has just the insects are crawling all over, and it's designed for probably first through fourth grade. And then we have a craft called a grasshopper pom-pom craft for kids. Now, tell me about why we should include crafts in teaching kids about things.
Oh, I tell you, don't get me on this high horse. But the fact is, what do we have? Two halves of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
One entire half of our brain is dedicated to that kind of activity, to the crafts, to the production. Okay, small child, what are we getting? We're hitting motor skills,
yes.
Fine motor skills. We're hitting critical thinking. We're hitting organization.
Mm-hmm.
We're hitting the ability to interpret. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I say, okay, here's a basket, I want you to make it. They have to interpret that basket and then reinterpret it into what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I still remember as a kid, I still remember the excitement of making a clay pot for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and pinching it with clay, and then they fired it, and it was the ugliest thing when I got older that I'd ever seen. But when I was in the first grade, it was just wonderful. I'd made it. You know,
mm-hmm.
something you'd made.
I put a link to the PDF of the Grasshopper School Day on my website. That's www.myhomeschoolcompanion.com. We're winding down this half of the show. And
yeah.
We already have our cue music. We hope you've enjoyed this Grasshopper School Day. It was a very short day. It's all interesting.
There was actually a lot more in there that we could have unpacked. I mean, the document's pretty big.
Yes, yes, yes. You're listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more information on this topic, go to educationcurrents.com. And on behalf of Paul Tooley and the Life Talk Network, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. Until next time, may God bless.